You ready? All right, good morning. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, November 26, 2013, and ask if everybody would please join the Board of Supervisors as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, good morning again. First item on our agenda is public comment period number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda. I will tell you that if you're here as we start our conversations about 590th or 650th, we'll hold that until we get into that conversation, unless you'd prefer to speak now. Other than that, is there anybody who'd like to address us? Okay. Board, consideration of minutes from November 19th.
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any conversation or corrections? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes pass. Consideration of personnel actions. Board, we have all actions as listed.
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Personnel actions pass. Consent agenda, board, please add utility permits 1427 and 1428.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. And board, before you get away today, you got some things you need to sign.
All right. Sounds good. Blue pen, though. Okay.
No public hearing items today. Additional items, discussion and consideration of Story County FY13 MHDS annual report, Deb Shildroth. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, good morning.
Well, each year, the Department of Human Services requires counties to submit an annual report from the previous fiscal year on the goals and objectives, meetings and input from stakeholders, if we had a waiting list, what our services were, what we funded, all of that good stuff. And so that's the report that you have before you. The identified goals and objectives, those are the items that Ron Christensen and I report to you on a semi-annual basis, so it's just a synopsis of those reports that we gave you during fiscal year 13. Nothing had changed there. Our stakeholder involvement involved a variety of groups. The Management Advisory Council, our Mental Health and Criminal Justice Task Force. We had a crisis services subcommittee under the task force, and we turned that over to Eirely Ball to continue, since they are the mental health center and a primary contributor to creating crisis services and serving clients in that have that need. Our transition advisory committee, that has been disbanded. That was operated primarily through the Heartland Area Education Agency and involved agencies throughout the county to help transition youth into the adult system. After several leadership changes, it just has not been able to get off the ground. So hopefully, maybe through the regionalization process, we can look at starting something like that again, because that is a link within the system to help youth transition into the adult system. And then the last stakeholder group is the Story County Quality Alliance, and they focus a lot on health and mental health kinds of things and bring coalitions together to share visions and directions. So that information was included as well. We had our provider network and services listing. We did have appeals during the course of the fiscal year, and that's on page 22. Everything has been de-identified, but we did have a total of three appeals, and all appeals were handled at the reconsideration phase, so it didn't have to go on to our Management Advisory Committee for any kind of intervention. On page 23, there's a summary of our quality assurance activities, and then on page 24 is waiting list information. As you recall, we did have a waiting list for a good share of fiscal year 13 due to changes in state funding, but once we received the transition funds, we were able to get the individuals off the waiting list and into services prior to the end of the fiscal year. So that was good news. So if there are any questions or comments.
Questions for Deb.
No, just a comment again. The ongoing collaboration and work with the various groups, I think it's very evident in Story County that one of the unique qualities that I think that we have a lot of stakeholders that, you know, are at the table discussing various needs in our community. And I know I had an opportunity, you know, about a month or two ago to set in on one of the sessions, and it's just engaging to see all the various folks around the table talking about not only the service they provide, but the cooperation and collaboration that goes on. So kudos to you and everyone and all the provider agencies for their work that they do.
And I don't see the task forces and the groups that I've mentioned, I don't see regionalization changing any of those. Those are local groups that we'll continue to have meeting and provide input to the region, whether that's through a regional advisory committee or other means. But these are local groups that will continue working. Okay.
All set?
Yep.
All right.
Good.
Board, if there's nothing else, request for action on our annual report.
I would move approval of the annual report.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion. Deb, anything to add? Thank you very much for your work. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Annual report is approved. Thanks, Deb. Next is discussion of proposed road vacations, including 650th Avenue and 590th Avenue. Board, I just want to underline, this is a discussion item. It's not an action item. No action is going to be taken here today. I know we've got a lot of interested parties. Darren, take us through where we are, how we got here, and what, if anything, is next.
Okay. Yeah, this is just discussion today. A lot of the landowners were notified of actual hearing, but we didn't get publication in one of the newspapers, so we decided just to hold off on the hearing, but we'd still use this as the opportunity to get some input from landowners, because that's what we're really looking for here. We have two roads we're looking at vacating. We'll just start with the first one. You're pretty familiar with this because we had the Level B discussion 2 weeks ago on this portion, and this is the portion we're talking about vacating in between these two houses up here. It's really our old S27 loop. Zoom in on that. We have some real property line and right-of-way line issues. It's really complicated when you get up north. It's a little hard to see those lines, but one issue is we have a strip of old right-of-way that actually goes with this property across on the other side of the road. But in general, this is the stretch that we're talking about vacating, and we've kind of decided to stop the vacation here. Because let me turn on the next slide. The yellow is the actual road right-of-way, and the green is the property lines. So new S27, we'd like to keep this right-of-way as part of the S27 right-of-way and vacate this portion here. So this right-of-way would go away, but this triangle would stay because we kind of need that for the new S27. So this little stub would kind of be like a driveway, just like this is to this property over here. It's within the right-of-way, but if modifications need to be done to that, they still need to get a permit from the county to work in the county right-of-way. But we would no longer maintain this stretch of road. We would have to put up some sort of a mound and signage at the end here both ways to warn people at the end of the road. And then this portion at the south would be level B, so we wouldn't have to turn around with a motor grader in the winter and plow this road out. Both of these kind of need to go hand in hand, so I don't want to do one without the other. Talked to this property owner. Mr. Martin was concerned about legal access to his property, of course. Vacating it here would still give him legal access to get up here, and as a additional to him, he does have he does abut new S-27 right-of-way, so if he had to build a new driveway, he'd still have a public access. Either way, the decision would be up to him. If we vacate it, there would be two properties here, so I told him it would be up to the post office if they have to move their mailboxes up to public right-of-way. I'm not sure if they'd require that or not. The other issue is the 911 address. We're going to have to most likely move those up to a public, the edge of the public road, and I need to cover that with Leanne. And also with Leanne is their addresses will probably have to change their mailing address because there will no longer be a 652nd, I believe it is. It'd be 650th Avenue, so their mailing address would also have to change if this took place. Any other specific questions about this? We'll probably go ahead and open this one up for comments so we don't get them mixed up.
In general, the comments, the access was one of the things, but do you see that the other proposed changes with E911, with the mailbox and postal service, et cetera, are those, could they be very problematic in terms of how it would impact, you know, particular landowners?
I don't believe so. We're doing this as a request from the landowner, so right. Make that
okay.
Clear.
We're
not pushing this, so that's something they're going to have to keep in mind. Since this will be technically still public right away, they could move their mailboxes up to here, I would assume.
Okay.
And the mail person would have a turnaround there at least, but we would no longer plow snow from this stretch, so that might be a reason why the post office wouldn't go in there at all. That's strictly between them.
And as far as south of there, turning it into Level B Road, have we gotten many comments from those that farm that ground?
South? No, we have not. They must not use it. They must just head over here and head up because this is in rough shape. It's old pavement, a lot of potholes, but have not. I went ahead and sent, I know Maxwell's do a lot of farming down in this area, so I sent them notice of this meeting too and have not heard anything. I don't believe they're here.
Okay.
But we'll see.
All right. It's not a public hearing, but if there is anyone who would like to comment to the board on the proposal of vacating this stretch of road and turning the southern portion into Level B, now would be the time. Good morning.
Morning.
Hello again. I'm Jean Beanfang. We live at, it is actually 650th Avenue now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is. So it's not 657 second. So I don't know that we would have an address change. And we are still in favor of closing the road there and making it private. I guess my only question would be if there's no snow removal, I know the Martins have children that ride the school bus. I'm not sure how that would work out for them. For where the bus would turn around. Currently, the bus comes and turns and backs into their driveway and turns around right there and goes back out. So I guess I'm just kind of speaking on their behalf. We spoke earlier this week. They were just concerned about access, and we have no problem giving them an easement to their driveway. They also raised the question about future loss in case they were going to sell their property and whoever was going to buy it was concerned about access, but that was answered because there would be no problem, I assume, with them putting a drive directly into the new S-27. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then that doesn't have any impact then. So I guess I just wanted to say that we're still in favor of making the road private at this point.
Any concerns with the snow removal, the fact that now there would be no snow removal at all on that stretch from 650th all the way back?
Not as far as we're concerned. The Martins may have something else, and they were going to come today, but apparently they didn't make it. When is the final hearing?
Darren, have you figured out when we're going to have, if this moves along?
Some of that will revolve around the next roads discussion, what happens with that, but I'm hoping in the next month or so, but it's going to be difficult for us to actually put up signage and drive posts in the frozen road this winter, so I don't know if we're in a real hurry to get this done anyway. So we could hold off until spring, if there, especially if there's still some questions with school and post office, and get those resolved before we take official action.
If you'd encourage your neighbors to either call Darren or call one of us and just make sure that we're well aware of any concerns they have, and we'll move ahead.
And the 650th, this is 650th now. So I believe this is the one that's 652nd.
Right, up until you get right there where the tie-in is, and then it turns into 650th all the way out to Highway 30.
Okay, that's something I have to check with P&Z on still to see if you have to change your mailing address, because that'd be another issue. Okay.
Okay.
I'll let
you know. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else wishing to comment on the conversation on 650th? All right, seeing no one, we'll move on to 590th.
Second road, we're talking about possibly vacating the south of Highway 30, 590th. New veterinary facilities here, just to give you an idea of where we are. Talking about the whole mile here. Zoom in, show the property lines. This side of the road is all owned by one property owner, lives here. This side of 590th has a property owner here, one here. These two... the taxes are mailed to the same person, but one's in a trust and one's in a different name. So there's a little bit of access issues to this property here. Talk to them. They mentioned they might need a new driveway off of the gravel here if this went through. Why this came up, the wind farm wants to put a new wind turbine here. Our Level B ordinance does not allow any improvements to be done on 590th. Even by the private property owner. So discussions where one solution might be to vacate the road, and then it goes back to the private property owners, and the wind farm would have to talk to the private property owners to get permission from them to rock that road and do any improvements to it. Since our last discussion, the wind farm has submitted a new proposal that builds a new access along this where they take access off this existing drive, and it follows this. There's no fence there, but you can see there's a definite change in farming. If that goes, it kind of takes – there's not any reason to take immediate action on this. We were trying to move this along as fast as we could to resolve that issue. The wind farm kind of wanted an answer on what their options would be. But vacating it could create some access issues. That's why we want to hear from the public what it would do to them. Of course, we don't know what the DOT is going to do in that corridor at this point. We've heard proposals on controlling access in the future and not allowing access at the gravel roads. The positives to vacating it would be we have a lot of people that do get stuck in this stretch, and particularly they come off of Highway 30 not knowing it's a Level B road, getting stuck. It happens a lot. The other positives would be the private property owners would be able to do whatever they want with that road, improve it if they wanted to, up to the center line of the road. It would go back to the private property owners at the center line. The other downside is there's utilities through here. There's a string of utility poles on the west side. Those would stay, and utilities keep their technically an easement through there so that power poles would not come down. Other than that, I'm really interested to hear the public input on this one and see where we need to go. And if I think Randy's here, if the wind farm still would like to take access off of this, even though they've submitted a new proposal, I'm curious, or if this new proposal is what's going to happen. It takes some of the priority off vacating this. So
now, under the new proposal, Darren, is that access currently kind of not a standardized road, but it's a driveway type thing that goes all along there, or is this land that's already being farmed right now that would become sort of an access road?
Yeah, I believe it's already being farmed, but they want to put 12 inches of rock, so it's a pretty hefty road they need to build there, so they need to know before they get started where it's going to be. And it wouldn't be just to build it. It's going to need to be there to get there for maintenance.
Right. And so who's the responsibility of the maintenance then of this road? Would that be the wind farm or the private owners?
It'd be strictly on private property, so that would be an agreement between the private property owner and the wind farm. We wouldn't be involved with that.
Okay. Okay.
What, Darren, tell me about maintenance on 590th in that section right now. You in there a couple times a year grading it? How often do you get in there right now?
Yeah, we try to hit it before harvest, especially if we can find a dry spell to get through there because there's some wet stretches. This one in particular is it's shaped like a bowl, so the road is essentially the ditch. So it makes it difficult getting in there at times. It sits full of water quite a bit. But, yeah, we try to get in there maybe twice a year when we get a call to request blading.
Okay. Options are if it stays a level B, then it'll just stay as it is. There'll be no improvements on it. We'll get in there and grade it a couple times a year. If it gets vacated to the property owners on either side, then they own right up to the center line and get to do what they deem is appropriate. What about access to Highway 30? Would that then turn into a driveway? What would happen if we vacated it where it hooks to Highway 30 right now?
Yeah, I don't think I have a zoom up of that, but DOT actually has a little bit of a bump out there. So essentially that would still be a little bit of a driveway. But I believe when the wind farm asked, I think they wanted to try to get access off of the portion that's in the DOT right away. The DOT would not allow a new driveway to be put in there, so they could take access off of that. But beyond that, it would become a private road right after that bump out.
Okay. Paul, any questions? Wayne, anything else for Darren? Okay, I'm sure I'm going to have several who want to speak, but first is going to be Jim Connor, simply because he requested that he be able to speak to this.
Okay. Yeah, I'm representing both Connor Farms and Ellen McEachran, both landowners on the east side of the existing right-of-way. And we've got two questions. Basically, we've got what now is about a 28-acre field there that if the road is completely closed, we will have absolutely no access to it. And that has us concerned. Especially if there is no way to get access off 250th,
yep.
Which is what we need. So, over there and a ramp down, even if it turns into a private drive on our side of the section line, it could be done, but we've got to have access in some form.
Okay.
Now, which one are your, could you put the light, turn the light off there so I can see that again, approximately where we're talking about here for this gentleman?
It would be this field here.
Yeah, right.
Field
right. Okay. There. And so the
only access is off 590th.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
We have absolutely no other access possible. There is also a small portion of Ellen McEachran's land, which is between that field and 250th, that is tilled, and that also needs access off what currently is 590th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our basic problem. And if the road is completely closed, another thing is we think the county should pay for a survey of that section line so that the landowners know exactly where their new property lines are. Otherwise, there could be a wild batch of disputes between property owners. One thinks it's over here, another thinks the line's over here, and that can make for some very bad neighbors.
Now, my question, and I see Darren shaking his head, indicating that could be a concern, but isn't the property lines defined now? So why would they necessarily change if access is granted?
The problem is, where is the section line in that right-of-way?
I see. Okay.
I did some checking.
There
okay.
is no real way to okay. tell exactly where that section line is.
You got to remember that I'm kind of a city boy. That's why I'm asking these questions so I can understand it.
No, it's a good question. It's a good
okay.
question.
Okay.
The right-of-way isn't definitely defined
okay.
through its length, and the road meanders a little bit through that. As was mentioned, it's a bit of a ditch there, and it's kind of shifted a little bit over the years as maintainers have tried to improve it a little bit and haven't quite made it.
There's some certified section corners through here, which would help bring down the cost of a survey. No. So that wouldn't be a huge deal to do.
It shouldn't be that much, that difficult a survey.
Sure.
But it is our opinion that the county should pay for a survey and set stakes at where the new property corners will be. And then mm-hmm. the landowners can go from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Questions? Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
I'll address two of those just real quick while we're on the topic. Two things we could do to resolve that is we could only vacate up to a certain point, like right here, which would leave them public access to get to this property. It'd be an option. And the other option is if by vacating a road by code vacates a property, there's a provision you could pay for damages, which would be essentially building a new driveway or something for him. It would allow the county to do that.
Well, what and you're hitting on it for me now, Darren, because my stance is pretty simple. If there are concerns with vacating the road, so 650th, we're talking about vacation there because the property owners involved are in favor of vacation along that northern stretch. If the property owners involved aren't in favor of this, or if it creates some new issues and has more cost, because you run the numbers, your association runs the numbers. The fact is, maintaining a level B road is not that expensive to the county, and so it's not. For me, that we can find a whole lot of dollars to go vacate a road, because then why?
Yep.
So for me, it just comes down to I liked this idea originally when it came up from the wind farm because I thought the property owners involved would be in favor of it. If they're not in favor of it, this is easy. We just move on. Who else would like to address us on 590th? Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Steve Wanderer. I'm an attorney from Des Moines, and I'm representing the Jensen interests, and they own the ground. I don't have a pointer, but he does. That's good. I should somebody's eye out. That's what I'll do.
Flip it around the other way.
Okay, where's it? Okay. Oh, there we go. They own the ground here.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll tell you what the biggest problem is... And it's a bigger problem for you guys, but the thing that concerns us about vacating this road right here is it will make it, in our opinion, easier for the DOT to cut this access off. And we know that in the long term, that's their problem. But we need to go way over. If we go further east, there's another road where the DOT wants to cut the access off. What's going to happen is all of the production here that needs to go north to the processing plants that are in the north.
Well, you're talking about 600th.
Well,
yes. Yeah.
You're
right.
Talking about 600th, and this right. board just, how many months ago, Darren, made 600th a farm to market? I mean,
right.
we recognize
right.
the importance
right.
of 600th. You know, what I'm trying to explain to several of the property owners and your clients is we have limited, well, less than limited. We have no control when it comes to
we
what
know
DOT
that.
Does.
We know that. But we also know the DOT. And that's the concern. If once this thing is privatized, it's easier for them to close the road. Now, it's nothing against the folks that want to put in the wind
towers.
Yeah, the wind towers. Of course, people would like 12-inch of gravel on that road, but that's our biggest concern is. We don't want to be deprived, and maybe that's way out of your jurisdiction, but boy, you know, for all of those farm interests, not to have access to all that processing north is a real burden.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that needs to be taken into consideration. Ron, you guys have anything?
That's a message that we continue to share with DOT, our concerns about the idea of restricted access and our future plans with 600th are impacted by this unknown nature of what's going on out there, simply trying to, the idea of spending any dollars on something that may end up just having no access at all doesn't make any sense, although we recognize that it's vitally important to everything that's going on there just north and for our farmers to get back and forth north and south. The one thing that I would like to make sure that everybody's aware of, and Darren, I'd like you to hit on this again, is 590th in its current state is a level B. There will not be any improvements on it. Even if a private party wants to go in and improve something, there will be no improvements. County can't allow that. I was hoping you'd just address that.
That's correct, and that's due to the ordinance. We have an ordinance that states what we can and cannot do on a level B road, and no surfacing, new surfacing will be applied. Maintenance is irregular, just a couple times a year. No snow plowing.
And it's a liability issue the way state code is written, right?
Yeah. If you go ahead and put rock in there, then you open yourself right back to the liability that we tried to get rid of in the first place by making a level B road.
So there's no way even for private parties to take the initiative and put the rock down on a public class B road?
There's one county I've found that actually put that in their ordinance. I'm not sure legally if they've run that through ISAC or anything to check liability issues there, but in order to do that, we'd have to change ordinance, and that would take...
Was there any reason that 590th needs to be brought back into the level A system?
Not that I'm aware of, especially what we know with the potential for Highway 30. They closed that down, the same thing, talking about paving 600.
Well, other than access for these property owners, which is what level B is intended for, is there anybody else who uses 590th south of Highway 30, other than the kids that like to go out there mudding when it gets muddy?
I'm not aware of it, but maybe if people that live out there could help us out and let us know if more people actually do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ron's actually one of the stakeholders. Let's
Ron. Start by introducing yourself into the microphone for us, Ron.
One of the main things that I see representing all the property owners with Vetter's building a new facility, most all the traffic, farm traffic for machinery travel, 20 miles to the north and 20 miles to the south, uses 600th. If they're ever talking about closing that road, and if the DOT is restricting, and if it's everybody's worried about safety and liability issues, most all the traffic for repair and heavy machine and wide machinery could use the dirt road, the 590th, if they would, is it A, whatever you talk about?
Level A.
It'd change the classification to get it to A, gets a lot of that machinery travel off of New Highway 30. Now, I would think the DOT would jump up and down with joy to get us off that road. Not just us, but, you know, probably 150 to 500 farmers that's traveling that road to get to that implement store.
I think part of the problem is that if they're going to close 600th, they're going to close 590th. I don't think they're going to close just one of them. I think once they make up their mind, if that's what they're going to do, you're not going to be able to cross Highway 30. At 590th
and all, it's going to be a much wider spring.
Their goal is to close all the grade crossings across there.
And that's what I say. I mean, this is just the first part of it. That's why this is so important that this gets kept open and everybody starts the battle for the taxpayers and people in Story County. Those roads need to be left open. That's huge investment out there that they're going to kill that's already been put in place.
I think, at least from where I'm at, I think this is a conversation that would be better held after the DOT figures out what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, we need to continue to weigh in on what the DOT's going to do. I want to recognize that we have really limited
But if the DOT comes in and says we're going to close this and they're going to put up the, you know, the permanent closure across the end of it, there isn't anybody that's going to be able to use it, and then we'll come back and then have a conversation with the property owners and say, okay, now, you know, now what do you guys want to do with this? Because you can't cross Highway 30, period. There's no access to get to the north from that road. So then what do the landowners want to do with it?
And then that's like getting the fire department after the house burnt down.
Exactly.
You start the process now, not after they close the roads. Sure. It has to be started now.
Well, it's already started. I mean, I know I've been in several meetings with DOT. Paul, I think you've attended one. Wayne, I think you've been in at least one.
Previous years, for other properties, not necessarily this one, but one.
Continue to make the case. Well, again, I just point to we just made 600th a farm-to-market road. It has never been a farm-to-market road before. We had to go identify another stretch to remove from our farm-to-market in order to do that. I think that sends a strong message.
Would there be any possibility that you can take that level B road to an A and do it at the expense, if you change it to A, would the wind turbine people be agreeable to do it at their expense? if you change classification to A, because it don't cost you any money and everybody's better served by it. Is that a possibility?
Darren, what happens to take that to a level A road?
We currently don't have a policy to bring it up to level A because nobody's ever requested it. We haven't had level Bs all that long.
We're the policy-making board, so yep, how would we do that?
We'd have to come up with a new policy to do that, and we discussed that until, you know, we started talking about what DOT future plans could be, and they're like, well, should the county be investing any money in this? But if the private property owner pays 100% of it, then it might be worth looking at.
Start with a petition from the property owners? I mean, is that the right way to get it in front of us?
Yeah.
Ron, petition us to consider taking that to a level A, and then the first question I'm going to ask you is, okay, how are we paying for this? And if the wind farm wants to talk about it, we'll talk about it, and we got to weigh through it.
Because I think everybody, when I talk to the landowners there, everybody wants to make sure that they have maintain access on the 30 off there, because it just changes everybody's whole traffic pattern out there.
Yeah.
They can't use it. Yeah. So I think even when they first originally thought that was all right, maybe it could be closed, they assumed they were not going to lose access on the 30. And once it gets privatized, then I think the DOT is just going to come in and say, well, we don't need our little 100-foot or whatever off there, and they'll close it and we'll be done.
Darren, I would suggest, based on our conversation today, and board, I'd be interested to get you to weigh in, that this is the end of the conversation on taking 590th, vacating 590th. It might be the beginning of the conversation of taking 590th from a level B to a level A. We'll have to see how the property owners weigh in, and then we've got to figure out, Jessica, I'd ask you to help us figure out the right process that this board would have to go through to consider anything like that, and we'll have to weigh in. Ron, I'll throw the ball into the landowners' court. If you feel like there's a case to be made why this does not need to be a level B, it should be a level A, make the case and we'll consider it. I don't think we need to talk about vacating 590th any further. I mean, I think it's clear what we're hearing. Unless there's somebody here who thinks vacating 590th is a great idea, as I said before, why would we vacate something? Now, there is a cost associated, not only the cost of building it to a level A, but a cost of maintaining a level A.
It.
And we're going to have to factor all of that in and take a look at it and see what the benefits are if that's the direction we want to go.
Look at all the traffic between Ames and Nevada anymore. There's plenty of needs for roads out there. You know, everybody gets concentrated on certain roads. That's why they get so abused, because a lot of people, acreage people, that got to go to Ames, and you know, that road will get used way more than you think once it gets to an A, since those new businesses have been built out there. That'd be a tremendous asset to the county anyway.
Well, it's a conversation that I think we're willing to have.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to factor in all of those things, because, you know, those of you who are using it and recognize, you know, what it will do for your operation, the only way we're going to be aware of that is you bring those concerns to us and we factor that in any decision that we may make.
Thanks. Yes, sir. Please start by introducing yourself for the record.
Yeah, my name is Randy Collings. I'm an adjacent landowner. Very much in favor of having access to the north end, okay? I want access to the north end 100%. Question I have for you, what sort of property taxes does a wind turbine generate within a year's time? That is something maybe down the road that would be looked at as being able to help pay for this road upgrade. I agree 1,000%. It's a safety issue. Okay? Being Vetters is up there, terrific amount of farm traffic is generated, machinery traffic. The stuff has not gotten narrower. It's gotten bigger. We need access to the north end 100%. I'd say I agree with Ron 100% more now than what we did before. Taking it to a level A, absolutely.
You've seen an increase in the amount of use that road gets since Vetters?
No, because that road is crap.
You're right.
Okay. It used to be used extremely heavily, but it's crap. I mean, if you go down it, you might go down it at 10 mile an hour in equipment, and you're still going to bounce all over creation. It did not get graded this year at all, okay, due to the construction on New 30. That messed them up the whole nine yards, so... I wouldn't say that's the county's fault for not getting it graded at all this year, but we need access to the north end, and I think taking it to level A is a wonderful idea.
Sounds like we've got the two major property owners in favor of taking it to level A. Let's get some more. Numbers have some clout in all this. I would encourage you guys to get us as much information. And Darren, you work with Jessica on getting that conversation in front of us, and let's just work through what it would cost, what the long-term cost is. We need to take a look. The way the wind farms ramp up, we won't see any additional revenue from any of those wind towers for five years after they come on. But there is some real revenue down the road that comes in. We use TIF dollars, Arden Griner's favorite topic, to pave the first quarter mile on 590 right there. We use the increase in valuation from Vetter in order to do that. So there is a mechanism to look at something like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Super. Okay. Thank you.
While you're up here,
doing
nothing doesn't really help the wind farm have another option right now.
Nope.
You think they'll just go ahead and build that driveway then, or wait to see what we do? You know?
They're obviously waiting to see what you guys do right now.
Okay.
That's
the discussion to turn it to A, that's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. They've been pushing for an answer, so that it's not going to help them. I was mm-hmm. just curious.
Well, didn't they, as I understand it, before the Planning and Zoning Commission, they've actually pulled this one from consideration right now. They're still talking about the three to the north, but they've at least slowed this one down.
Leanne's shaking her head, so she'll give us the
updates. I thought they submitted a new proposal using this driveway and building the access.
Yeah, Leanne, you can come here. Either one.
The board of this is one. This is sorry. They have three cases in front of us. This one is scheduled. It was before the board of adjustment last month in November, or this month in November. They remanded it back to the applicant so that this matter could be addressed, as well as a couple other concerns identified at the board meeting. It is scheduled to go before the board of adjustment next Wednesday for their consideration. With the driveway coming off of 250th.
Keep the location of the tower itself the same.
Tower is the same. There's one on the south side at 30 and then three on the north side.
I'd be interested to know what the cost of them building a driveway all the way up from 250th to get to wherever they're putting this wind tower, because it seems to me that there's dollars they're already spending.
True. We'll have considerable more grading on ours because the road's upside down, whereas they're essentially just going to be putting rock on flat ground out there, so it'll be a little difference there. But
And from the description of everything that I saw in the Board of Adjustments descriptions of everything, it was a 15-foot drive, concluded with a 15-foot drive with 10 inches of rock, with a fabric underliner of all the rock and so forth. I know... Mrs. McEachran had a concern, or Mr. McEachran had a concern regarding the if it would be able to handle heavy machinery. That's pretty much a non-issue.
Some of the heaviest machinery our roads see, isn't it?
Yeah,
when
cranes.
They put in some of
yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. You. Yeah. Anybody else wishing to address us on 590th or any topic involving these roads? Okay. Darren, I think very clearly we've got direction. 650th, keep working through that. And 590th, I don't think we need to talk about vacating it anymore, and we need to figure out what the conversation looks like, what the timeline would be toward making a decision to go A, and if, in fact, it were determined that we were going A, what kind of timeline we would have and costs associated with getting it done.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Anything else for Darren?
No.
Darren, thanks.
Thank you.
Next item on our agenda is discussion and consideration appointing Deb Shildroth as an alternate member to the Central Iowa Regional Housing Authority Board of Commissioners. Hi again, Deb.
Hi. I'm going to give you a little history on CIRHA, the Central Iowa Regional Housing Authority. They have been the entity that administers the Section 8 HUD program for all of the communities in Story County, with the exception of the City of Ames. And in 2011, the City of Ames, who had directly been administering that program to City of Ames residents, decided to turn the program over to CIRHA, so CIRHA now covers the entire county for that particular program. The 28E agreement that I had submitted as documentation is the 28E between the city and CIRHA, and there's no request that the county enter into any kind of agreement like that, but
One of the terms of the agreement is that there's representation on the Sirha Board of Commission. Do we just stop?
Shh, please. We are recording.
Hey, fellas, you can go out the hall.
Yeah.
Deb, go ahead.
One of the conditions is that there is representation on the Sirha Commission from representation from City of Ames / Story County. And historically, the city has provided a primary appointment to that commission as well as an alternate. And with some changes within the city government, they looked at a new appointment, and Vanessa will be that primary appointment. She had contacted me because she felt that she would be representing the City of Ames' interests and that they needed somebody that was going to represent the broader interests of the county. So then I would be considered as the alternate. So that is kind of the history behind all of this and where it's going. I think it would be of benefit to have that kind of representation of the board. We have, of course, individuals and citizens throughout the county that access that program. The headquarters of Sirha are in Grimes. So I think it's just important to be able to let that commission know what the needs are here in the county and including the City of Ames, and be able to make sure that the program is meeting the needs of the residents here.
I love the idea of you being part of it. My question is, can you you've got a full plate, Deb. Can you manage your schedule to the point that you're not going to have to work a lot of extra hours to be part of this?
Yeah, the commission meetings are held once a month, and they're evening meetings. And Vanessa and I would alternate attendance to those. So I do think it's manageable. I wouldn't have brought it to the board if I didn't think it was.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah. And I appreciate that comment, Rick. And the appointment is for a year, so we'll see how that goes and can reevaluate it after that time.
Questions for Deb?
No, this was a topic we discussed yesterday in our liaison meeting, and I asked a very similar question and got a similar response. So she felt that this is something doable because they would be alternating attendance at the meeting and so forth. So with that, I would move the appointment of Deb as an alternate member to the Central Iowa Regional Housing Authority Board.
Second.
Motion and second. Further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. You are now our alternate member. Thanks, Deb. No agency reports, no departmental reports, no other reports. Liaison assignments. Wayne?
Very quickly, I did meet with Deb yesterday. The bulk of the conversation kind of went over the earlier meeting that you all had with discussing some of the challenges the CLP was facing and so forth, and it was a very good analysis of some of the direction that we need to be talking about, how to engage the our regional board in the discussion, and then we also talked about this particular appointment and what it would be, and then the information that she brought to our attention today regarding the annual report. So by and large, it was just kind of a quick update of where we were and how we need to continue to move forward, and the desire to have more discussions with our regional board about how county-run services could fit in as we move forward this next year.
Super. Thank you. It's a big topic, Wayne, and we appreciate your role not only with us on the board, but your role in the regional board. So thank you. Anything else? Paul, anything?
No.
Nothing from me. Public forum, too. It's an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody? Arden, anything? Thanks for being here today. Announcement of the supervisors. Wayne.
Just one, and more of us will be hearing more about this, but Darren and I, we attended the SERPA meeting last week, and we heard a report from the DOT regarding some alternative funding that was thrown, that had been widely publicized, and one of the things that in his comment, particularly Section 8, or item number 8 regarding the focus on federal funding on primary road systems, is they're asking counties to weigh in by a certain date and give you know, some of their thoughts, and I'm sure this will be something that Darren will probably be doing on behalf of Story County. But just for the record, item 8 under the funding concepts talks about implement a process to permit the swapping of federal funding for state primary roads on local jurisdiction projects. This will require a code change to permit the use of primary road fund dollars on local jurisdictions. Second bullet point was the federal funding will be swapped on dollar-for-dollar basis with state funds for jurisdictions that do not utilize automated traffic enforcement. And federal funding will be swapped 50 cents on the dollar with state funds for jurisdictions that utilize automated traffic enforcement. And the third bullet point was the DOT has the expertise and knowledge to more efficiently utilize federal funding. So by swapping with state dollars, local roadway projects will be able to be completed in less time at lower cost. And so annual revenue is currently generated would not be applicable here. So basically these are concepts that are being proposed. There were several proposals that are there. County Engineering Association, I'm sure, are weighing in on this as well as ongoing discussions with the DOT. But I just wanted to bring this to your attention because this will be something that Darren will be playing a heavy role in upcoming months, communicating what our needs are. And then you may be aware of the newspaper discussion this morning where the governor seemed to have opened the door for considering some alternative funding needs for our secondary roads. And so we're just excited about the possibility of that discussion, and we're just going to see where it's going to take us as we move forward.
Okay. Super. Thanks, Wayne. Paul, anything?
No.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yeah.
With that, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion to second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.